The Big Three, or four.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, I'm Mark Austin Thomas. I bet you think you know who the Big Three automakers are. Maybe not. 2006 auto sales numbers are out. In December, Toyota sales rose 16%. That helped the company overtake Chrysler for the number three position in U.S. vehicle sales. And in 2007, they've got their eyes on the number two spot held by Ford. Perhaps it's no surprise then that Toyota is reportedly set to announce a site in the southern U.S. for its eighth North American assembly plant. The Wall Street Journal says that could happen by the end of the month. Next month, President Bush will offer his budget for 2008. He says he'll lay the groundwork that could lead to a balanced budget in several years. But when it comes to the Pentagon, the White House has sidestepped the normal budgetary process. Marketplace's Jeff Tyler says the Defense Department gets money through the back door by way of emergency spending bills.
President Bush is expected to propose a Pentagon budget in the neighborhood of $470 billion. Separately, he'll request some $100 billion additional dollars to cover the Iraq war through an emergency supplemental budget. It will include new jets and equipment that will take years to produce.
They are going to be things that are manifestly not emergencies.
That's Gordon Adams, a fellow at the Woodrow Wilson International Center for Scholars. He says this military spending shell game erodes fiscal discipline at the Pentagon.
Defense has probably one of the best budget planning systems in the entire federal government, and that system has essentially collapsed. We're now at a point where something like 20 to 25% of the resources for the Defense Department are not going through their normal budget process.
By avoiding that process, these rushed emergency requests also avoid scrutiny, bypassing two of the three relevant committees in Congress. I'm Jeff Tyler for Marketplace.
Music theater could be doomed in Britain, according to one of the country's most successful composers. Andrew Lloyd Webber, who wrote such hits as Cats and Phantom of the Opera, says wireless microphones could become too expensive for theaters to use. From London, Stephen Beard reports.
So long, farewell, off we to say goodnight.
Lloyd Webber has three hit shows running in London, including his version of The Sound of Music, but he warns the sound in the seven West End theatres he owns could become inaudible. The wireless mics his productions rely on could get too expensive to run. Britain's telecom regulator is to blame, he says. The regulator is planning to auction off to the highest bidder the airwaves used by theatres and concert venues. A cell phone company with deep pockets is likely to win. The fees could then soar and the theatres priced out. The regulator refuses to listen to the growing chorus of disapproval. Lloyd Webber warns the West End could fall silent, that the end of musical theatre in Britain is nigh.
One little girl in a pale
in London, this is Stephen Beard for Marketplace.
She yodeled back to the lonely goat herd. Lay, lay.
Well, the Dow ended the day on the positive side yesterday, but then it went up early, then fell after minutes of the last Federal Reserve meeting were released. The Dow closed up 11 points to 12,474. The Nasdaq moved ahead 7 points to 2423. And the S&P was down a point at 1416. And this is Marketplace. An environmental think tank says the government has vastly underestimated the demand for corn by the ethanol industry. It says that could lead to higher prices at the grocery store. From the Marketplace Sustainability Desk, Sam Eaton reports.
The Earth Policy Institute says U.S. ethanol plants, which turn corn into fuel, will consume half of the nation's harvest next year. That's more than double the government's projections. The Institute's president, Lester Brown, says that disparity could trigger everything from higher supermarket bills at home to political instability abroad.
What this means is that there just won't be enough corn to go around. And this is not going to affect just this country. It's going to affect the entire world.
Corn is the world's largest grain crop. Most of it is grown in the U.S. But Brown says more ethanol plants here mean less of that corn is exported, driving up food costs as far away as China. I'm Sam Eaton for Marketplace.
You're listening to the Marketplace Morning Report, produced and distributed by American Public Media.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Thrivent Financial for Lutherans, working with Habitat for Humanity to build over 350 homes this year with families in need. On the web at thriventbuilds.com. And by Mellon Financial Corporation, helping financially successful individuals and families protect and maximize their assets through the practice of wealth management. Mellon.com.
This is Marketplace. I'm Mark Austin Thomas. This is a week of college bowl games. They're a big moneymaker for the NCAA and for the participating schools. But some stadiums, like the Cotton Bowl in Dallas or the Rose Bowl in Pasadena, California, need some serious renovations. Who should pay? David Carter is the executive director of the USC Sports Business Institute. He's also consulted for the Rose Bowl on strategic issues for a number of years. Good morning, David.
Good morning.
Why has this become such a controversial issue?
Well, I think the debate follows what's happened the last decade or so, where you've seen the costs associated with maintaining these older stadiums far outpace the potential revenue that they're able to bring in. And now these municipalities face the very real problem, the very real situation that they have to figure out how to reinvest in their facilities. And if they don't, not only will their brand be harmed, but also it might zap their city budget. So there's a fundamental issue going on here right now with these cities. How do we decide to allocate resources to these buildings? Does it make sense? And do these stadiums still fit into the fabric of the community?
Now, they're not making enough money because the sports aren't popular enough or because the cost of maintaining these buildings has just grown so much?
Well, it's both of those, but I think it's also the revenue generation. You have state-of-the-art stadiums that have come online over the last decade that have all the amenities that the well-heeled booster or alum would like, as well as the corporate sponsors. And so I think at this point it really boils down to this question of who should pay. To me, it's an issue of, well, who benefits from these stadiums? And maybe that gives you a little bit of an indication as to who should be paying for them.
Cities own some of these stadiums, like Pasadena. Do you think they should go after private dollars to meet expenses instead of asking taxpayers to foot the bill?
Well, at this point, it's pretty much a must that they're going to have to find some sort of a partnership, because many of these renovations that are being proposed right now are multi-$100 million renovations, and it's simply not feasible for cities, especially smaller municipalities, to be able to pay the freight, if you will. So I think what you're seeing as a primary mechanism is to either go it alone and try to finance these improvements as you need them, sort of piecemeal it if you are the city trying to keep a stadium going, or alternatively, outsource certain sales and marketing-related functions to outside private firms that they will then provide you with guaranteed revenue in exchange for taking the risk of selling and marketing those older stadiums.
Everybody seems to be moving. In Miami, the Orange Bowl game has moved to Dolphin Stadium. In Dallas, the Cotton Bowl might end up playing in a new facility. Does it even matter where the teams play?
Well, I don't think the teams themselves, it may not matter to them, but to the historic host communities, it may very well be a big deal, because in addition to harming their brand, what are those stadiums and facilities going to be left with? Maybe hosting an occasional 5K run or other community event, or maybe serving as a backdrop for the shooting of TV commercials or the occasional movie shoot. So I think it is important to them, but we're in a sports business era now where you either evolve or perish, and many of these older stadiums, especially the historic ones that have hosted some of the greatest college football games ever, are finally really admitting that they have a problem that they have to address or they'll no longer be financially relevant.
David Carter is the executive director of the USC Sports Business Institute. And in Los Angeles, I'm Mark Austin Thomas. Thanks for joining us. Have a great day.
American Public Media.
Heart disease, depression, arthritis.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.